Today, we begin our podcast by discovering the masculine zodiac. To begin with, you will find out how the Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer men are. Then, we will take an in-depth look at the tantric path and how, as a tantric follower, your outlook on the world will change. Towards the end of this session, we shall perform a meditation for transmuting the sexual potential and sublimating the resulting energy to the level of Ajna Chakra. Stay tuned, together with our yogi hosts Valentino and Amaris.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris. Masculine zodiac, Aries, March 21st to April 20th. The ruling planet is Mars. The man born under this sign usually has great muscles and is very resistant. His penis, though far from having amazing proportions, is endowed with the ambition of developing the most extraordinary strategies. One can note its proverbial impetuousness in the erotic affairs. The native man of this sign is magnetic and approaches all the problems of life frankly and directly. The same tendencies are valid in the erotic aspects of his life. He's aiming at the target because all he cares about is the result. Tenderness and its ways of expression are agreeable, yet they are not necessary. If a person shows as much as a hint of laziness, he becomes irritated. He goes over the preliminaries without paying special attention, possibly even manifesting anxiousness or restlessness. He's the kind of man who prefers to enter the battlefield right away without wasting any time on preparations and strategies. Usually, the native of the sign has a paternal attitude towards his lovers, but when appropriately stimulated, he gets straight to the core of things. Then, lovemaking becomes a well-established strategy, always accompanied by impressive physical effort. Although he will never admit it, not even to himself, the Aries man is sometimes the victim of crises of power. These are due to frustrations at work or even in his love life. In the latter situation, he will always tend to blame his lover for his own mistakes and limitations. He doesn't like aggressive women, yet he's quite fond of an active, dynamic response. He simply loves to see the obstacles going down before him one by one. He also prefers to have the initiative and the control during lovemaking. One cannot say that an Aries man is masochistic, but he rejoices at the sight of bite marks or scratches, considering them as the sweet wounds of the battle in which he, of course, is the absolute winner. Sight offers an Aries the most powerful erotic sensations, but all the methods are appropriate to bring him to orgasm, a state that he experiences in an explosive manner. The ideal woman. The Sagittarius women fascinate the native of Aries. Nonetheless, the Sagittarius woman will have to oppose the Aries enough to attract and stimulate him with her resistance. Once a bond is created, the Sagittarius woman will be able to respond to his passionate aptitudes with great sensuality and ardor. The Pisces woman can also inflame an Aries. She's capable of adapting very easily to his desires. The masculine zodiac, Taurus, April 21st to May 21st. Dominating planet, Venus. The man born under the constellation of the Bull is well built, proportioned, with a powerful neck and shoulders and a vigorous penis that he uses with tact and intelligence. Taurus symbolizes physical force, and yet emotionally he's affectionate, kind, and gentle like a baby. Taurus is a man full of originality and sensuality, and his body is a gigantic erogenous area sensitive to the tenderest stimulation. During lovemaking, he likes touching the most, caresses, but the perfumes and odors from the room or from his lover's hair and body also have great importance. His affectionate nature is doubled by his resistance and tenacity, and his force is doubled by his patience. He begins to make love as slowly as a turtle, only to end the lovemaking with the energy of a genuine bull. He experiences the sensations of lovemaking intensely, yet he's not the prey of his emotions. On the other hand, you may be interested in the fact that once you started a Taurus, you cannot stop him very easily. In other words, you're facing hours on end of pleasure, love, and tenderness. However, as his lover, you need to be endowed in the art of awakening him from an erotic point of view in order to be able to savor afterwards the fruits of your attempt. The sexual desire of a Taurus is constant, and no incident from the social sphere can influence it. However, despite these exceptional qualities, he does have the tendency to establish certain rules in lovemaking, in rhythm, caresses, or erotic positions. The not so good news is that he may prove to be inflexible on the above mentioned points. This factor of stability makes him a faithful but possessive lover. He has an exceptional appetite, and he might want to eat either before or after lovemaking, sometimes even in both cases, so be prepared. But the native of Taurus is always an excellent lover. The ideal woman. The Scorpio woman irresistibly attracts Taurus. Together they can start erotic fireworks for real. The Cancer woman also appreciates the sensuality of the Taurus and is capable of answering back just as he likes it. Because of his faithfulness, a Taurus man may spend an entire lifetime with a Scorpio or a Cancer woman, preferably in bed. Masculine Zodiac, Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Ruling planet, Mercury. The man born under the Gemini constellation is often a tall person. They often have long hands and feet, and this can be valid also in the case of their virile members. The Gemini man is an expert in the art of conversation, and he's the type of the intellectual who knows how to speak with a woman. He's never silent when making love to a woman, and he always murmurs sensual words into her ear. Seriousness is no part of his character, nor is it of his sexual life. He's rather cerebral than emotional, and his body gladly responds to mental stimulations, such as erotic movies, erotic books, and so on. He's intelligent, lively, curious, and highly imaginative in lovemaking. He loves new experiments in bed. If you're bored, or if you think you already know all there is to know about sex, we recommend a Gemini man. An affair with Gemini, be it in a tent, or in the elevator, on the kitchen counter, or in the dressing room of a fancy shop, definitely change your opinion on life and on your sexual experience. He loves to be intrigued, excited, and fascinated by new mysterious things. He often is slightly masochistic, and he also has an inclination towards threesomes. Unfortunately, he's nervous and agitated, which sometimes may diminish his qualities as a lover. Fortunately, with proper stimulation and strength, these shortcomings can easily be overcome. The Gemini man does not appreciate noisy emotional manifestations, and everything he does is charged with equal detachment. For him, the ideal woman should have something else besides great breasts and curvy hips. He does not like to make love with uncommunicative, unintelligent lovers. He's very attracted to new ideas in sexuality. Those born under the Gemini constellation have an impressive sensitivity of their hands, which can make them two wonderful instruments of pleasure. The tactile sense, the touch, create for the Gemini man the most intense erotic sensations. If the Gemini man will know how to bring to harmony his mental force with his sexual energy, then he will have all the attributes of a truly admirable man. The ideal woman. The Gemini man appreciates the dynamism of the Aries woman, whose originality in seeking pleasure in the erotic game can sometimes surpass even his own. Then comes the Virgo woman, but this combination risks to replace lovemaking with interminable analytic conversations, which are not disliked by the Gemini man. Nonetheless, these discussions take up time that could be used for putting them into practice. Together, they may even end up in writing a book on sexuality. The masculine zodiac, Cancer. June 22nd to July 22nd. Ruling planet, the Moon. The native man of this sign has a tendency to be a little chubby. This is also valid concerning his penis, which is impressive in diameter rather than length. The native man of Cancer is deeply impressed with the image of his mother, with whom he will tend to compare each woman he meets. However, do not be discouraged or dismayed. Sexuality is oriented towards women with a powerful maternal sense, and his relationships with women are very influenced by the Oedipus complex. He loves voluptuous breasts, and he's always tempted to caress, touch, or look at them. He's moody and changeable, and he definitely prefers a woman for whom he has profound feelings rather than just a blind date. If he's hurt in his love, if he feels he's not appreciated at his real value, he may even suffer from temporary impotence and certainly from grumpiness. Nonetheless, a kind, gentle, and loving woman will be able to raise his morale, as well as other things. The native of Cancer will see no problem in the fact that his lover takes on the initiative. Quite the opposite, actually. Cancer prefers the passive role. This does not mean that when the time comes, he will be any less than impressive and skillful. His nature is very sensual, and his erogenous areas are the back, chest, and buttocks. However, he will not refuse a gentle stimulation from time to time in these areas. He likes to masturbate alone, or as a couple, under his lover's amazed and charmed gaze, and he's very pleased when he's hugged, kissed, and touched all over his body. For him, taste creates the most intense erotic sensations. He has the tendency, however, to act as a pet, and prefers to stay in his comfortable bed rather than head out and seek adventure. The Moon has a significant influence on the native of Cancer. His erotic desires are stronger in the 2 weeks between the new moon and the full moon than in the rest of the month. If the Cancer man will know how to develop his masculinity and his solar characteristics, then the combination with the famous Cancer sensitivity will make him quite a catch for any woman. The ideal woman? The Taurus woman is capable more than any other to bring to reality Cancer's fantasies and desires. And he loves to caress the generous curves of her body. The Pisces woman will also fascinate him, especially because the differences and contrasts between their natures will bring out agreeable sparks of fulfillment.
This is Tantra FM, A Step into Bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. On the Tantric Practice. Essays in Life and Eternity by Swami Krishnananda. The system called Tantra has always been regarded as an esoteric and secret way of spiritual practice, not supposed to be accessible to the untrained minds of the masses. The secrecy about the practice consists in the novel outlook of life, which Tantra requires the seeker to maintain, a way of looking at things different from the one in which people are accustomed to see, interpret, and evaluate things. The teachers of Tantra hold that the seeker on this path has to outgrow the usual human outlook and develop a superhuman and divine attitude in respect to the world. Since this would be too much to expect from the common man, Tantra is supposed to be a closed secret, whose gates can only be opened on conditions of specialized training in the mastery of one's mind and senses. The philosophy of Tantra is based on the concept of a dual nature of everything, duality based on unity. Nothing is single, but everything is bipolar. The so-called unity of things is only a form taken by a particular manner of the coming together of two forces, the subjective and the objective, designated as Shiva and Shakti, the plus and the minus, the poles of experience. Scriptures dealing with a subject of this kind state that in the beginning there was a universal unicell known as Brahmanda, the cosmic egg, which split into two, one part of which was the cosmic man, and the other part was the cosmic woman. Modern science is corroborating this view when it concludes that in the beginning, the universe was like a single atom, which divided itself into two and then into the multiplicity of the present state of the universe. Since the two parts and their subsequent subdivisions actually belong to the whole, there is a natural pull exerted by each on the other, both at the cosmic level and its lower multiple forms of descent, even down to the minute atom. The behavior of the two parts of any single organism is a sort of double attitude of the consciousness of duality and unity at the same time. There cannot be attraction between the positive and the negative unless they form two poles, and yet at the same time, there cannot be an attraction if they are absolutely two different things with no internal relation. Attraction and repulsion, love and hate, are such phenomena that defy logical understanding. At the individual level, love and hate seem to be warring with each other, though in fact the two forms are complementary aspects of a single attitude. At the lower human level, the bipolar unity assumes a multiplicity of forms, so that one bipolar unit cannot tolerate the interference, or sometimes even the presence of another bipolar unit, for fear of losing its isolation. This subtle operation can be seen manifested in its grosser forms when one family group finds it difficult to appreciate another family group, when one organization cannot align itself with another organization, one community cannot look upon another without some sort of suspicion and reservation. though humanity constitutes a uniform species with common psycho and physical demands. According to Tantra, the sorrows of life are caused by a bipolar existence, a split of the one into two, because the truth of things is oneness and not the apparent dual form of the existence of anything. The dual form creates an ambivalent attitude of like and dislike at the same time between one pole and another. Love getting suppressed when hate supervenes, and hate being driven underground when love gains the upper hand. While the fact is that both these attitudes are simultaneously present in an individual, and only one of the aspects comes to the surface as and when the occasion demands. Human nature, thus, is in a state of perpetual conflict. It is never in a state of balance between its two compulsive attitudes. To get back from duality to real unity is the process known as Tantra Sadhana. A specialty of the practice of Tantra is that there is no specific injunction towards a rejection of the outer for the sake of the inner, the material for the sake of the spiritual, or a considering of every joy in life as an evil to be eradicated. In Tantra, things in the world, the material forms of perception, are not really obstacles, and its desire for them cannot be overcome by rejecting desire itself. Everything in the world itself, is in its entirety a passage to perfection when its manifestations are viewed in their proper context and spirit. Human desires arise on account of the unintelligent attitude that man develops towards any desire. And there is a fear of desire, since its pressure seems to be mastering him, rather than him being its controller and director. The fact that the object is inseparably related to the subject, because the object is just the other pole of which the subject is one phase, is highlighted in tantric forms of meditation. Every experience is a subject-object relation. And therefore, no one can even think of overcoming the consciousness of there being such a thing as an object, except by a relation already established with the object, through a means that transcends both the object and the subject. The naive attempt to subjugate the object would involve one in a vicious circle. No effort in the direction of getting rid of the object is feasible, since there is already a consciousness of the presence of the object in this very attempt. From this comes the great dictum of Tantra, that desire can be overcome only by desire, even as the object can be overcome only by the object. The other aspect of this principle held by Tantra is that by which one falls is also that by which one rises. The Tantric Sadhana, or practice. The teachers of Tantra know that there is a great difficulty in practicing this doctrine. Hence, the art of sadhana along this path is considered to be a gradual movement through different ascending stages of understanding and disentanglement of the subject from involvement of the object, by rising to a condition transcending the very relation between the subject and the object. 7 stages of the progressive movement are mentioned here. They are known as Vedachara, Vaishnavachara, Saivachara, Dakshanachara, Vamachara, Siddhantachara, and lastly, Kolachara. Of these stages, the first 3 are intended for the lower category of students on the path, known as Pasu, or people in whom the animal nature is predominant. The next 2 are for the Vira, persons in whom the normal human instinct is predominant. And the last 2 are for the Divya, or persons in whom the divine element is predominant. It is believed that the first 3 stand for work, devotion, and knowledge, respectively. The Veda standing for ritual, Vaishnava for devotion, and Saiva for knowledge. The 4th stage attempts to conserve the positive results, Dakshinya, or the right, achieved through the practice of the first 3 stages. Up to this level, the movement is almost linear, but at the stage of Vamachara, there is a strange difference in outlook, for this term implies the commencement of the return current of the soul's movement towards reality. Vama does not mean left, as most people seem to think, but reverse process. Nivriti, or returning, is distinguished from pravriti, or flowing onward along the natural current of the senses. Here is the beginning of the secret practice or the esoteric aspect of Tantra Sadhana, where objects of attraction as well as repulsion, whatever their nature might be, are regarded as necessary instruments to be assimilated into and made part of and parcel of one's own being, with the sole intention of overcoming the consciousness that they are outside oneself as a sort of opposing object or an external something. The greatest obstacles to spiritual perfection are wealth, power and sex, and it is these that Tantra intends to harness and overcome by the very means of which an untrained mind may head towards a fall. The Pasu, Vira and Divya attitudes, corresponding to the animal, human and divine natures, take into consideration the gross, the subtle and the divine aspects of things. Every object has a gross form, a subtle form, and a divine form, and every seeker has to pass through all these stages. Tantra insists that no stage can be overstepped, but has to be traversed personally. An unknown thing, an object of fear, cannot come under one's control. Tantra holds that the impure, the ugly, and the unholy things in life, the very things called evil, are things which have been wrongly seen out of their context and from their own particular positions as true subjects. They are neither good nor bad and have no special character of their own, which are foisted on them by the perceiving subject from its own standpoint. The negativities of life are suggestions given by the mind from the standpoint of the particular interest which refuses to take into consideration that there can be other interests other than one's own. The universe is a multi-point of view and not merely a single point of view. From the lower standpoint, one has to rise to the higher by a systematic and progressive movement of the whole of one's being through the gross, subtle, and divine compositions. In the beginning, one contacts the object as the thing outside. Next, one merely thinks it in the mind. Lastly, one visualizes it as a point of stress in the universal reality. All desire arises on account of the false notion that the universe of objects is outside the knowing consciousness.
Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: transmuting the sexual potential and subliming the resulting energy up to the level of Ajna Chakra. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Try to perceive the effervescent sexual energy and the subtle inner fire, which should now be making their way up your spinal column towards your Ajna Chakra. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: transmuting the sexual potential and subliming the resulting energy up to the level of Ajna Chakra. Let us begin.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed your time with us and that you will join us again for our next broadcast.